Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am so honest to the point where I am pre-recording this intro. I am pre-recording this a week before so that because I'm going to do the Genie Plus episode while I'm out of town, but I just want to have enough stuff recorded in a silent room before I leave, just in case, because I'm going to be staying with family. There are children around. You never know. So I'm recording this in advance, and in my head, I was like, don't tell them. Don't tell them you're doing it. You don't have to tell them. They're not going to know. It's like that TikTok noise. Like, no one's going to know. And I'm like, they will know. And instead of just quietly recording an intro to the podcast that you would never know either way, I was like, I must confess this was recorded 7 days ago because I'm an absolute freak show. But anyway, yes, I am recording. Why does it matter if I'm recording it in advance? I just have nothing to tell you about the past week because it hasn't happened to me yet. Ooh, I wonder what'll happen. I mean, I'm traveling with a child, that'll be thrilling, but besides that, not much. I signed up for a lot of aggressive workout classes while I am out of town that I don't know if I can physically do or not, so hopefully I got in shape within 3 days to be able to do those. Otherwise I will be sitting a beat red heap in the back of the class gasping for air. That's all I got, because this week we are talking about all of the many changes coming to Genie Plus. And I feel like to talk about this, I don't know if I'm supposed to say Fast Pass, Genie Plus, Lightning Lane, Mega Pass, Maxi Pad. There's so many words happening here that we will get into it in the bulk of the episode. My brain isn't fully switched over to the new terms, but by the end, mine will and so will yours. Because I have faith that this episode will be everything you need to know. Because that is the point of this. My goal in doing this episode is that you will be able to hit play, do your dishes, drive to work, enjoy your life, go on a walk, walk your dog, hang out, and just essentially passively be able to learn all of this very essential theme park information without having to sit down and study it like a college course, because that's my job. My job is to try and translate all of this to make it easy for you, and hopefully this episode will do that. So stick around, we have so much ground to get through, but I am confident by the end of this episode, you will feel like you know what you need to know to go into your next trip. You don't have to read endless blog posts. You don't have to make little spreadsheets. You can just kind of understand where things are going and how you're going to plan your trip. And that is the goal. So stick around. This one will be fun. I mean, you'll learn. You're guaranteed to learn something. And it'll be straightforward. And it'll help you plan your future trips. Okay, stick around. Talk soon. Bye. Welcome back to our updated Genie Plus FastPass Multi-Single Lightning Lane Mega Explainer episode. If you're listening to this, you're probably aware that, well, first of all, this sounds a little different because I'm traveling, I'm using my old microphone, and I will not lie to you, I was inspired by Emma Chamberlain, who apparently records her podcast in bed, and I am sitting in bed with a plush guest pillow on my lap with my laptop. This is a much superior setup to me hunched over a microphone in my office, so if it sounds bad, I'm sorry, at least know that I'm comfy. And the other mic was too heavy to bring, and I had a very, very heavy backpack. But anyway, if you are listening to this, you are also probably aware that Disney has done the thing by ending their Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lane paid Skip the Line products starting July 28th, 2024. We have complained for many, many years that waking up at 7 a.m. does not a vacation make. But unfortunately, even these changes being enacted do not mean that you can just show up to Disney without advanced planning. No, if you are here listening to this podcast, it is probably because you are eager to learn the system and how to game it, which is kind of what we'll be doing today. Before we get into all of this, though, we need to acknowledge all of our feelings. We need to honor our feelings because this is psychotic that this is what's happening in 2024. We had FastPass, and then they took away the FastPass, and now they're kind of sort of bringing back the FastPass, only it costs a lot more money than the original FastPass. It is the literal execution of Michael Scott's snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, because the only difference is that now we appreciate it more because we've seen how bad a Skip the Line product truly can be, even if it is like FastPass, yet costs us money. Because the new multi and single passes essentially see Disney putting elements from their many different Skip the Line products over the years, shoving them all together in a Mickey-shaped waffle maker, and poof, out comes the new way you have to navigate your Disney World vacations going forward. Which I am here to help you do. By the end of this episode, you will feel completely prepared to book your next Disney World trip. But that's not all. Long story short, I had this grand vision where in this episode, I was going to tell you how to work this new system. The strategy, the approach, my recommendations, all my little fixes for this brand new version of Genie Plus. And then I outlined it all, I looked at it and realized, it's just too soon. You don't deserve to have to hear me say, well, we don't know what's going to happen until we get some data about 2,045 times. So, similar to Disney, working it out on the remix, I guess you could say, I scrapped that entire plan, that entire initial episode, and instead have emerged with what is a much better strategy for both you and I as we proceed into, yet again, figuring out how to visit these parks in a simple yet superior way. Because remember, you may pay the same as other people for Lightning Lanes, but that does not guarantee you get the same experience, which is why it's essential to learn how these systems work, and why I am so passionate about making these procedures simpler and easier for you to understand. So, this week, the week of July 10th, if I have my dates right off the top of my head, we are going to talk about everything you need to know about this new Skip the Line program coming to Disney World when it debuts July 28th. Every new name, detail, booking window, process, procedure, and early advice and strategy suggestions for your upcoming summer trips. Then, sometime in August, once the system has been up and running for a few weeks, once we have data on how ride return times have shifted, and we can actually start tackling procedure, we will do a part two episode covering how you should approach booking all of these newfangled fast passes. At that point in time, I'm going to zhuzh the published date for this episode so that part one and part two are right next to each other in the podcast feed. So if you are listening to this once part two is live, hello from the past, and also kind of the future. This episode was recorded prior to the system's launch, but it still includes everything you gotta know before using the service. Anything that has changed will be covered in part two, but also probably in our show notes if applicable. I'm gonna teach you how to actually book these and what's available, so I recommend listening to both to understand all of it. Sounds good? Sounds good to me. Honestly, the last version of this podcast was so freaking confusing and overwhelming that I feel very good about this. I feel very good about moving forward. And if you don't, if you're listening and you're like, but my trip is in late July and early August and I'm freaking out, man. I get it. I get it. So at the very end of this episode, kind of the second half of it, I will be outlining the strategies I would use in this small window of time before we really know what's what. Kind of what I would do if I had a trip in the next few weeks so that you can feel as prepared as possible for your upcoming summer Disney trip. And with that, with all of us in sort of high spirits, I hope, don't worry, I got your back on this. Let's learn an entirely new, yet somehow old and still convoluted booking system. Shall we? Let's go. Currently, as many of you know, Disney World offers two paid Skip the Line products. Genie Plus, which lets you book multiple return times for the majority of attractions throughout the parks, and individual Lightning Lanes, which lets you pay individually for Disney's most in-demand rides. Genie Plus booking opens at 7 a.m. each day of your Disney World vacation, so you wake up each and every ding-dong morning and enter the chaos that is those quick-hit bookings for Genie Plus, for individual Lightning Lanes if you're a Disney hotel guest, and for virtual queues simultaneously. That's what used to be. There are three big main things you need to know about the changes coming to this process and to your Disney World vacation. The first big change is that starting July 24th, 2024, nearly all of what I just mentioned goes away. You will no longer be required to book individual Lightning Lanes or Genie Plus return times day of, which is a huge win. All this can now happen before you arrive in Orlando, bringing back those FastPass vibes of yesteryear. Because, like FastPass, you will select what rides you'd like to guarantee Skip the Line access to and at what time and on which days in advance of the entirety of your vacation. But unlike FastPass, you will now be paying for it, possibly double if you choose to buy all of the products available. When Disney debuts their new system, you will have the ability to book all of your Disney World Lightning Lanes for your entire trip in advance, which, I gotta say, that's fantastic. Disney World hotel guests can book Lightning Lanes 7 days in advance of their arrival, and all other guests can book 3 days in advance of their trip. These Lightning Lanes can be selected at any time that is available, day, afternoon, night, totally your preference. However, with great power comes great responsibility. Because now, well, again, if you're a longtime Disney fan, now you can't just select any ride you want. You can't choose whatever you want, whatever, return time, bing, bing, boom, living your best life. The second big change here is that there will now be tiers, hierarchies of which rides you can select in advance, which kind of segments the product in a way that may no longer really benefit your trip the way it used to. And lastly, the third major piece of news you need to know is that the names are also changing. And for some godforsaken reason, they've decided to not use FastPass, a term we all know, but an entirely new name. Another new name, just to make sure you're paying attention. I don't know what tomfoolery these lawyers were up to in clearing only these new names, but we technically asked for this, so we will power through. We will forge ahead with these Kugaloony new names. Genie Plus, the skip-the-line product that allows you to book multiple return times in one day for a flat fee, is now called Lightning Lane Multipass. Individual Lightning Lane, the pay-per-ride offering that is used on rides like Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy and Avatar Flight of Passage. Individual Lightning Lane, that thing that gets you on those, is now called Lightning Lane Single Pass. This is terribly confusing, even more so over audio, and will take some time for our brains to switch over. So in this episode, I will be calling them by both names throughout the podcast. What the Walt Disney World legal team, I guess that's what you call them, the Walt Disney Company legal team maybe, what the Walt Disney Company legal team cannot do for you, I will happily oblige. Now there's a lot of nuance here and we're gonna get into it, but again, the big changes are that you can select your times while you book in advance, you can select from ride tiers, so not all rides are created the same any longer, and the names of both products are changing. With that out of the way, let's get into how all of this is going to work. Welcome to booking your next Walt Disney World vacation. Once again, booking opens 7 days in advance of the check-in day for Disney World hotel guests and 3 days in advance of their park day for all other guests. There's a really small bit of nuance hidden in this language, but if you check into Contemporary Resort on September 1st and your park tickets don't start till September 2nd or September 3rd or even September 4th, you can still book everything 7 days out of September 1st, meaning it is advantageous to take any non-park days at the start of your trip. We'll do a little more on that later when we get to strategy. At this time, that 7-day booking window includes all Walt Disney World Resort hotels, moderate, value, deluxe, all of them. It also includes Shades of Green, as well as the Walt Disney World Swan, Dolphin, and Swan Reserve. It does not, unfortunately, include some third-party affiliated good neighbor type hotels, which FastPass may have given previous benefits to in the past. That means Four Seasons Resort Orlando, at the time of recording, is not currently being granted that 7-day window. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Disney Springs Resort Area hotels, which previously at one point in time did have Walt Disney World benefits, are also not being granted them at this time. Those hotels and all other guests can book up to 3 days in advance of their actual ticketed park visit. If that changes, I will reflect it in the show notes and mention it in part two of this podcast. The booking windows for all of those open at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific, which you've heard me complain about a 7 a.m. wake up many, many times and very amusing, but I gotta say, it's better to do it once for your entire vacation and to do it from home. But what's really great here is that finally, at long last, parkgoers can select their times and book for the entirety of their trip in one fell swoop. Disney hotel guests can book up to 14 days of Lightning Lanes, either multi-pass or single pass, and non-hotel guests with date-based tickets can book for the amount of valid admission days on their tickets. Keep in mind, if you're going online, like literally right now to buy tickets, you will be led to choose a start date for your admission, so it's not another hoop to jump through for the most part. That 3-day window also applies to annual pass holders and guests with tickets that are not date-based. It's a little confusing because you'd think, if I'm an annual pass holder and I reserve, again, September 1st and September 2nd, you'd think I'd be able to book everything 7 days out of September 1st because it's a consecutive visit, but I tried to fact check it. I haven't heard back yet. By the time this episode went up, it seems like I would have to book multiple times, which is a little annoying. It's a little annoying as an annual pass holder, which I am. But again, I don't have to do it every day, but I do have to wake up multiple times. Anyway, we'll get to that later. It's upsetting for me and a handful of listeners, but I will let you know if it ends up where you can just book it once, but I know it's not. I know, unfortunately, it's not going to be, and that is why we got to stay at a Disney hotel. We'll get into that later. I want to talk for a minute about this new version of Genie Plus Multipass, because remember, this is tiered access to a paid product. This 7-day, 3-day breakdown, this is access to something you can opt in for. You do not have to use this every day of your vacation or even at all during your trip. This is optional. This window is purely giving you the opportunity to spend extra money earlier than before. Or what I like to say, the greatest summation of Disney doing us a solid in 2024, because that's the best you're gonna get. Each guest can select up to 3 Genie Plus multi-pass return times and up to 2 individual single pass return times per day. If you book out the maximum amount of items in advance, that would be 3 fees, 1 for your Genie Plus multi-pass and 2, 1 for each individual single pass. You can book all, you can book just Genie Plus multi-pass, you can book just individual Lightning Lane single passes, or you can book none of them. Again, this is optional. This is a benefit to spend money in a more palatable way. Another benefit of the new system is that you can see all of the availability before you book. So if you spontaneously decide to go to Disney or in that 3-day window and aren't sure how to break down your trip, you can decide in advance if Genie Plus Multipass is worth the money. Speaking of money, we do not yet know any changes on pricing for Genie Plus Multipass. My guess would be that Disney would probably launch with similar pricing as in the past to kind of avoid any sort of negative headlines like the new Genie Plus is here and it costs twice as much, that type of stuff. And then if they do raise the price, it'll be slowly over time, so it's built in and it's not big enough for any headlines to catch. That's probably exactly what's going to happen. Oh my God. But regardless, if you are planning your trip, budget around $25 to $30 per day per person for Genie Plus, or now called Multipass, and around $16 on average for an individual Lightning Lane, or now called Single Pass. The actual pricing has been dynamic, meaning sometimes it changes depending on the day, sometimes it doesn't. I think Tron has always kind of stayed at the same price. But once the system launches, each day's prices will be on display within the My Disney Experience app. I've also been told by travel agents who were briefed on certain details of this that bookings can only be done on the My Disney Experience app, not on the website. This is something I was not told in press materials, something that I couldn't find explicitly written on the website. Again, if this changes, I will reflect it in the show notes, and it'll probably be mentioned in part 2, but keep that in mind for any upcoming bookings. Even though this does have FastPass Plus vibes, you should plan to do it on the app. And since I personally default to being a computer person for booking stuff, this is something I would have goofed up otherwise. So take note if you are similar to me. Also, if you are flying into America for your Disney World trip, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, because I have some bad news if you have not heard about it already. Disney amended their rules to allow for Canadians to book up to 7 days in advance if they are staying in a Walt Disney World hotel. But at the time of recording, if you are traveling from any other country besides Canada, if you're flying in from the UK, France, Germany, Australia, Tokyo, you cannot book any of this until you are in America. That means even if you booked a 10-day vacation at the Grand Floridian, you threw all your money at it and you cannot wait for your big blowout Disney trip. At this point in time, until we hear otherwise, you cannot book a single Lightning Lane until you have landed in America. Now, this is a huge, huge disadvantage to the people traveling the furthest to get here, which is absolutely messed up and so deeply unfair. But because I know I have a segment of international listeners, I hear you, Australia peeps. I know you're out there. You call in and I love you. I have looked into workarounds specifically for you. Now, at this time, I do not know if VPNs will work. That's kind of been the first suggestion people have been bringing up. I don't know if that'll work for this to allow you to book from afar. Again, it hasn't launched yet. We don't know. Check the show notes. Listen to part 2. There will be updates. But while you are currently listening to this and hopefully not panicking, do not worry, I got your back. Here is what I recommend. First of all, if you have a friend or family in the States that you feel comfortable sharing your login information with, give it to them and have them book it for you. Honestly, the first second I heard of this have to be on the ground in America and Canada now, because they changed it. First time I heard of this policy, I thought, oh, I'm certainly going to be waking up at 4 a.m. for my friend and former podcast guest, Chris Cox, because we simply must help our foreign friends out. Chris, I got you. I will book it for you. Do not worry. Second, if you have not yet booked your trip, if you have not yet planned your trip, book it with a travel agent. When you do, Talk to them. See if they would be willing to wake up and do this for you. Not all travel agents will automatically book guest lightning lanes because it just adds so much work to their workload. Like, imagine being based in LA and being a travel agent and waking up at 4 a.m. like 5 days a week to book these. That's too much. It's untenable. But considering the situation, and that international guests are really kind of dealing with a loaded hand, I feel like there are absolutely travel agents who will be willing to help you. If you need some help finding a travel agent, check my Facebook group, The Fomaly. We have a list of them, and there are plenty of agents who are members of that group. And even if you've already planned your trip, talk to a travel agent. See if it's possible to get it transferred to them so that they can maybe take over your reservation and move forward with it. And if none of that works, turn to the Disney community. Try to connect with other Disney fans on social media and Facebook groups, anything like that, to see if someone has a solution or somebody willing to book these for you, anything like that. I would not be surprised if this ends up just being a temporary issue and either Disney figures out a loophole or a business emerges in the near future that will book your return times for you so you won't even have to worry about this. Third-party services like Standby Skipper, if you've ever heard of them, they would book your Genie Plus return times for you day of. And while they aren't really going to work the same in their current format as all of this switches over, I absolutely anticipate someone will offer some way to book these for you for a fee. Someone's going to have an algorithm. Someone's going to build a little beep boop little robot. Someone's going to do it. And at some point, it'll be inevitable that someone will be charging for this. Again, stay tuned for part two. Stay tuned to the show notes. I will update you if I hear of anything changing. We have so much more to discuss, namely how to book, what to book, and which rides you even can book. So let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will outline how you're actually going to do this and what choices you can make to get an even better Disney trip than someone else using the same service. Stick around. We'll be right back. I love getting dressed. I love putting on my little outfits. But these days, I really struggle with those core closet pieces that I just don't seem to own. Which is why I'm beyond grateful to be partnering with Armoire, who makes getting dressed oh so easy. Armoire's clothing membership really helps busy moms like me build the perfect wardrobe with high quality and unique items recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet, or if you're like me, search through the entire website because you need to see every option because that's just how you are, and selections show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, whenever you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. As a new mom, I'm still in a place where not everything I own fits me, both my body and my lifestyle. So essential items I need, like a cutie little skirt for a night out, or white denim for summertime, even a versatile short black dress, which I do not own, are just problem areas in my closet I have not been able to fix. With Armoire, I was able to solve that issue in just a few clicks. The items in my delivery fit amazing. Honestly, I'm pretty floored by it. And each one I selected is somehow even better in person. One of the challenges I faced as a new parent is that it can be really hard to pinpoint your identity and style when everything around you has changed. And all the stress I had about needing to take the time to find upgraded, stylish basics and being pretty scared to commit to any of them was completely solved by Armoire. I got this one outfit that is perfect for baby music classes at the park, a black ruffled Cynthia Raleigh dress you will be seeing me wear a little too often, and this cute little leathery Paige miniskirt with these silver little zippers, which is exactly what I didn't know I needed for the, well, occasional night out on the town. It's a dream that Armoire lets me guiltlessly try out new wardrobe essentials without committing to any of them. There's no stress about spending all my money on clothes that aren't me, or maybe a pinch too tight, or a smidge too big, or may not even be my vibe 4 months from now. Because anytime I'm done with an item, I don't like it, I'm tired of it, I wore it to death, I just send it back and choose something new. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. That's a very good deal if I'm going to say so myself. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, spelled armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never, ever worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. That's armoire.style/amusing. Welcome back. Now that we've gotten all the nitty-gritty timing windows out of the way, let's discuss planning. The thing we hate to do for a Disney trip, but oh so secretly love. We secretly love it. I hate it and I love it at the same time, and that's what makes us Disney fans. Now, before your 7-day or 3-day window arrives, be sure you have downloaded the My Disney Experience app and that your entire group is linked on the reservation. I say that all the time, but you'd be surprised how easy it is to not have this piece done. And I include myself in that group because sometimes it happens. Even the pros make mistakes. It happens. Once all your tickets are set, hotel reservations are loaded in, once it's all reflected there, you should be good to go. Because remember, if you're at a Disney hotel, it's 7 days before check-in day, not your first park admission day. This is a sidebar, but I especially want to stress this for guests at the Swan and Dolphin and the Swan Reserve, because those reservations can take a couple days to load into My Disney Experience. If you're booking in advance, you're fine, just make sure to check on it. But if it's a last minute trip, absolutely stay on top of it, because that lack of system seamlessness can affect your personal booking window. Like we mentioned at the top of the episode, if change number one was, well, everything so far, change number two are the tears, the return of the tears, not the crying tears, but maybe depending how your 7 a.m. wake up goes. That's because while old Genie Plus strategy is out of the window, new strat, out, that's not the phrase. Is out the window, not out of the window. That's because, well, old Genie Plus strategy, I sound like a talk show host. That's because, well, okay, anyway, Genie Plus strategy out the window. A new strategy is going to emerge because we have decisions to make. This newfangled version of Genie Plus and Individual Lightning Lane, now called Multipass and Single Pass respectively, it's not the same as it was before. It's just simply not built in the same way. You really have to prioritize the best rides at the parks, even if you're just buying Multipass. Now, we are going to be diving terrifyingly deep into this in part two. Like, I'm going to go full Charlie, bored with the strings. You know the meme where he's like pointing at the board and the strings and the photos? That's going to be me when I prep the second episode of this. But don't worry about that for now. For now, I just want to outline the tiers for you. And then in the future, we will squeeze all the juice out of this new booking format. Now, three of the four Disney World parks, Magic Kingdom, Disney's Hollywood Studios, and Epcot, have their rides presented in these two different tiers. A hierarchy of fun, if you may. When you book Genie Plus or Multipass, you can select one ride from tier one. I believe Disney has changed the language to group one in literally the past few days. So again, if you're booking Genie Plus, now called Multipass, you can select one attraction from Group 1, and you can select two rides from Tier 2, or Group 2, in advance of your arrival. Or you can select all three from Tier 3, subject to availability. That makes no sense when you say it out loud, so I'm going to repeat it because I don't want to confuse you even further. When you book Multipass, you can select one ride from Tier 1 and two rides from Tier 2, or you can select all three rides from Tier 2. Generally speaking, it's the tier one rides that are the ones with the bigger lines, the longer waits, and more popularity. So it's not advised that you go all three in tier two just for obvious line skipping reasons. But hey, live your lives. It's your vacation. And if that means you want to cram in three rides your kids have been clamoring for out of that tier two group, you do you. And I hope you have a great time. I mean, you will. Just, you know, it's different people like thrill rides are usually at the top. It's fine. It's fine. Choose what's best for you. But also tier one, you got to get those tier one rides. You got the tier one rides with the longer lines. Those are the longer lines. Now, when it comes to tier one options, we're going to go park by park. And Magic Kingdom is tricky. Tricky, 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 tricky. Tier one, again, from which you can only select one ride to skip the line on within the Genie Plus product that is now Multipass. You can only choose one of these. Select your fighter. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Jungle Cruise, Peter Pan's Flight, Space Mountain, and Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Now, I was just like to give a small rant. Is this annoying because you now have to wait in line for higher tier rides that just a week or two beforehand you wouldn't have needed to because of the format of Genie Plus? Yeah, it's annoying. Is it double annoying because unlike FastPass, which was included for free, you're now paying money to have to choose between rides you were already paying to skip the line on and now have less autonomy over all of it? You bet! But to be a Disney fan is to roll with the punches, and that is what we are doing until the day I either throw my laptop across this bedroom and never look back, or somehow fall in love with a less fun place to vacation. A hat tip to you all who feel the same way. So back to Magic Kingdom. You've got a hugely stacked top tier, but Tiana's Bayou Adventure is only available through Genie Plus Multipass and Virtual Queue Day of. You cannot wait in line for the newest Disney attraction, and it's not a separate purchase like most new rides have tended to be with individual Lightning Lane or Single Pass. If you want to ride Tiana's, you have two choices. One, buy Genie Plus Multipass and snag a return time as part of it, or roll the dice day of. That's it. So if you're doing one day in Magic Kingdom, your Disney panic brain is going to recommend you grab Tiana's. So if you see it, grab it. If you are doing multiple days in Magic Kingdom, you have more flexibility and you can chance it with possibly getting a virtual queue return time that works for you. A reminder, virtual queue is free. These products are not. But if it's a short trip and you want to go on Tiana's, grab Tiana's as your tier one choice for multipass. Because while you'll do that, it will be the absolute personal sadness of not snagging Space Mountain, my must-ride ride when I'm at Disney World. I would also sidebar recommend choosing Tiana's for an early time in the day because it has been known to break down, but do your best with what you got. As for the Tier 2 rides, we've got almost everything else in Magic Kingdom. Attractions like Haunted Mansion, It's a Small World, Barnstormer, Dumbo, Mickey's PhilharMagic, Pirates of the Caribbean, Tomorrowland Speedway, all that type of stuff. So for Tier 2, I mean, I would recommend Pirates and Haunted Mansion, but choose whatever works best for you. We're going to get into stuff like that a lot in the second episode, and also a little bit below when we talk preliminary strategy, but this is going to be a park where booking the earliest return time you can find just so you can pick up a fourth Lightning Lane day of is going to probably be key. More on that towards the end of this episode. Because now is a great time to discuss a huge unknown factor that is going to affect all of your Disney World plans going forward, whether or not you purchase these products. A massive detail here that is going pretty under-discussed is that, I don't know if that's a word, but we're going to go with it, is that character greetings are not part of this new version of Genie Plus. This is reflected across all four parks, but most heavily at Magic Kingdom. Because here, specifically for Magic Kingdom, that means princess meet and greets, Mickey meet and greet. All of that is no longer included with your $25 or $30 or so dollars skip the line spend. Meet Ariel at her grotto, Enchanted Tales with Belle, both Princess Fairy Tale Hall meet and greets, and Meet Mickey at Town Square Theater were all previously offered as part of Genie Plus. And with this shift to multipass, that's five experiences. Six, if you include Festival of Fantasy Parade, that were previously offered with Genie Plus and are no longer on the docket. Now, on one hand, that might be great. Lines for those experiences might be shorter and easier to manage. But on the other hand, we have no idea how this might affect the inventory for other return times. Could this be good? Doesn't seem like it. It seems like it would be bad, right? Could it be bad? I mean, Ariel was a pretty highly ranked Genie Plus return time in its prior format. Does that mean some mid-level rides will now be harder to get? Or maybe their lines will be longer? Will the tiers level all of this out? Will it be trickier to pull a day of Lightning Lane for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad simply because there's just less stuff to select from? I don't know the fallout for this yet, honestly, and it's going to be something we discuss extensively in part two of this series. So be sure to check that out once it drops. But also, think about it. It's pretty interesting, right? There are also two individual Lightning Lane single pass rides at Magic Kingdom, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Tron. These cost money separately from Genie Plus, separately from what is now called Multipass. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train does offer a traditional standby line, but at the time of recording, Tron, just like I mentioned with Tiana's a moment ago, does not offer a standby line. You cannot enter the park, walk up to Tron, and stand in a line. That is an absolutely banana sentence to say out loud to someone planning a trip here. And yet, we have taken it as gospel. Again, Tron, just like I mentioned with Tiana's a moment ago, does not offer a standby line. If you want to ride Tron on your vacation, you either have to pay for an individual Lightning Lane or wait until the day of your trip to roll the dice and see if you nab a virtual queue return time. Which, let's talk about, is a whole other can of worms, which also undercuts many of the things I like about this new service. As a refresher for those unfamiliar, virtual queues are used for in-demand rides at Disney World in lieu of actual standby lines. That means to ride something, you have to try to book a place in line at 7 a.m. or 1 p.m. or 6 p.m. during deluxe evening extended hours if you go that deep. Currently, it is used for Tiana's Bayou Adventure, Tron Light Cycle Run, and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. That is the most simplistic way to explain virtual queue, but the key part here for what we're going to talk about is that wake up at 7 a.m. Because the whole point of changing this system, right, was to keep you from waking up at 7 a.m. on your trip. And what does the virtual queue do? It causes you to wake up at 7 a.m. on your trip. It's a bit maddening, no? Which is why I'm going to predict. Well, I'm just going to come out and say it. This is absolutely what I think is going to happen. I think individual Lightning Lane for things like Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind and possibly Tiana's, but that's a little separate because it's not individual Lightning Lane, but especially for Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy, I think they're going to sell out more quickly with these changes. I won't really know until this new system kicks off, but just think about it logically. Before, you could buy your individual Lightning Lane or Lightning Lane single pass in the same instant as when you could book a virtual queue if you were staying in a Disney hotel. If you didn't get the 7 a.m. drop, you had a single choice. You would try again at 1 p.m. or you would try to buy it outright. There was a step in place before you possibly spent up to $20 a pop per person to get on a single ride. Now, your wheels will be spinning a week prior, being like, we're going to get all the way there. And what if we get all the way there? Day of, we don't even know if we can get on Tron or Guardians. What if we pay to go to Disney World, to fly there, to stay in this hotel, to get there with a family vacation, and we don't get a virtual queue return time, and we can't go on the rides we're most looking forward to, and all the individual Lightning Lanes are sold out? What do we do? And that's a huge change to this approach that I haven't quite anticipated and that I didn't really see coming. So much of Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lane was predicated on not wanting to mess up your trip or waste time. Not wanting to come here and not making to have your family wait in line as everyone else zooms past because you thought paying for it, splurging a little more, wasn't worth it. Before, you had to wake up at 7 a.m. to book all of these random things. And if you didn't get a certain ride on VQ, maybe you'll splurge for the individual Lightning Lane. Now that they are on sale days earlier and could sell out days before the actual day you're there, which was impossible before, that simply could not happen. There's now this time crunch. There's a panic. There's a new stress that could emerge. Do you see where I'm going with this? Now the default first option you encounter isn't going to be the free one. It's going to be paid. So I would predict going forward, you're probably going to wind up spending more money on an individual Lightning Lane, a single pass, than you ever have before. Because psychologically, you're probably just going to buy it for something like Tron, even if you wouldn't have. It's just the way it's structured, and it's just kind of how our Disney brains work. Again, before, you could try for a virtual queue and then choose if you wanted to pay. But now, those are flipped, and you're probably going to be inclined to spend more just to make sure you can get on that ride. Disney are evil geniuses. They really are. Moving on to Epcot. I will not lie to you. Things when it comes to the tiers are bleak here right now. With Guardians not included in this Genie Plus multi-pass and Test Track currently down for an overhaul, you can now expect to pay upwards of $20 just to guarantee your way on one of their main attractions. And that's not even counting Cosmic Rewind. Tiers or groups here are going to be a killer, so brace yourselves. In the first tier, you can choose one experience from Frozen Ever After, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, and Soarin' Around the World. You can then choose two other experiences, or all three, from a group that includes Mission Space, The Seas with Nemo and Friends, Spaceship Earth, Turtle Talk with Crush, Living with the Land, Journey into Imagination with Figment, and why is it on here ever, Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival? If you select that, you have selected incorrectly. Oof. Now, these tiers are a big ol' oof. Disney is so broken at this point where your secondary tier options are things like Figment and Spaceship Earth, which when you plan your trip right, you won't even need. There's no line later in the day. Epcot is, oh my God, this is so challenging. My only advice for what you should pick for that top tier if your trip is upcoming and we don't have all the information yet, but if you have a trip coming very soon, My only advice is that Remy's Ratatouille Adventure has historically been selling out quicker than Frozen Ever After, so possibly keep that in mind if you wanted to go on both. There's also Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind available on individual Lightning Lane single pass, but let us just pray, prayer circle, that they take Guardians off of single pass and add it to multipass and remove the virtual queue and downgrade Soarin' to the lower tier so we can feel like we're saving money even when we're not, because all of this costs money on top of the already astronomical park admission prices. Just move them around. Move Soarin' down, move Guardians to the top tier. Everybody would be happier. Everything would be seamless. Epcot wouldn't be such a slog when it comes to picking these. Please do it, Disney. Please do it. As a reminder, with these changes, that means that the new Mickey and Friends meet and greet, which we talked about on the recent Disney World recap episode, the one that I really liked, it's cute. It's a cute retro, kind of like nostalgic meet and greet. It is Lightning Lane free, despite the sign that hangs outside its door. It will now just be a normal queue. Very curious to see what the wait times are like there. I will let you know. I'm so curious about it all. Moving on to Disney's Hollywood Studios. In the first tier in Group 1, you can select from Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, I don't know why I panicked saying their name out loud, and Slinky Dog Dash. You can choose your other two or all three from a group that's, you know, the usual stuff, Indiana Jones, Muppet Vision Star Tours, Tower of Terror, Toy Story Mania, Alien Swirling Saucers, yada yada yada. On top of that, there is also a individual Lightning Lane single pass available for Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Now, this one is a no-brainer. Slinky Dog Dash is the most in-demand ride here and one of the toughest rides to get when we were using previously Genie Plus. So if you can get Slinky Dog Dash, period, the end, game over, get it. It is immensely frustrating that the advice now is just like, good luck, wait in line, or use a single rider line. For other rides, there were just regular old parts of Genie Plus. Like, you could have before gotten Runaway Railway and Slinky Dog Dash. Pretty, like, that was doable. But we will get to strategy in the next one. I'm confident we will figure things out because this tier system is so tricky. And in Animal Kingdom, ooh, our sweet baby angel with no tiers like the good old days. We got stuff like Dinosaur, Expedition Everest, Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo, Kali River Rapids, Kilimanjaro Safaris, and Navi River Journey. Those are all mushed into one. No tiers. Avatar Flight of Passage, as you know, is individual Lightning Lane, single pass. You will have to pay for that separately and is not offered as part of this. I'm pretty curious to see how Animal Kingdom goes. I don't want to speak too much out of turn before we know the real strategy here, but if your attempt is to pick up as many return times day of as possible, this park could be really good for that, as well as for mixing into your park hopping, because you could probably get a few of these early, start out early there, get them out, and then hop to another park and do other rides there. Or you could go here early in the morning, do some of these lower weight rides, and then move on to the passes that you've already saved. Stay tuned. We got to figure out the best breakdown for using multipass, but keep that in the back of your mind. Whoo! So that's a lot. That is a lot. And hopefully by now, this is starting to make a little more sense. You're starting to understand how it works. But let's also dive into the mechanics of how you'll actually do this at 7 a.m. or 4 a.m. or wherever you are hovered over your phone screen trying to make it all happen. We are going to finish by discussing strategy and approach. Now, this stuff, these Lightning Lanes, add up. And I myself don't like to book them every day, and I know a lot of you don't either. If you're trying to figure out which days and which rides and what your Genie Plus multipass plans are, I'm going to recommend you backload your trip with Genie Plus. I'm going to call this strategy bringing up the rear. And this is imperative, especially if you are not staying at a Disney World hotel and only have a 3-day booking window. Because of this new shift to advanced booking, the first day of your trip will always have less Lightning Lane availability than the last day of your trip. So by bringing up the rear, you will hypothetically have better ride selections and more return time availability towards the end of your trip than at the start. This is, at this point, my best foot forward for saving a little money while also maximizing multipass, because the longer your trip, the more options you're going to have on days towards the end. Now, what does that mean for the duration of your trip and booking these Lightning Lanes in advance? Well, I would probably shift my resort days, my non-park days, towards the front of my trip so that I can have more Genie Plus selection to choose from while bringing up the rear. I would also plan my entire trip around the days I'll be using Genie Plus at the end, and have days in the middle with individual Lightning Lane single passes, and the days at the end more towards multi-pass all Genie Plus. For example, if I was going on a 6-day trip, day one would be arrival, pool, maybe hotel dining or Disney Springs for dinner. Or if I'm staying at a Disney World hotel and it's 2025, I would use that arrival day water park admission benefit that they recently announced. Day 2, 3, possibly 4 would be standby rides, character meets, because again, there's no lightning lanes for those. Longer meals, character dining, virtual queue attractions, Epcot festivals, fireworks, nighttime entertainment, any ticketed events, any shows I want to see that are easy to get into, and any paid individual lightning lane rides, which are now single pass, all of those scheduled in advance. Then, the back half of my trip, possibly day 4, but definitely day 5 and 6, would focus exclusively on rides with Genie Plus MultiPass, since we get better availability at the end of our trip. I would pair that with quick service meals, I would try to prioritize rides over shows, make sure I got my fireworks fix in earlier in the trip, and basically spend those 2 days running and gunning to pick up as many rides as we can with Genie Plus MultiPass. It's hard to not hit the ground running on your trip when you arrive and do all of your favorites. But strategy-wise, if you can be a little patient and you have a longer trip, you're going to have a lot more options towards the back half of it. The other side of the coin of Genie Plus strategy is making specific time selections that can help you maximize the product day of. Stick with me, this is a little tricky. Because here is the thing. Here's the thing we have not talked about yet because there was so much other stuff to talk about. You can only book 3 Genie Plus multi-passes in advance. You can only book 3 multi-pass in advance. But you can pick up additional multi-pass lightning lanes day of, subject to availability. And on that day, the tiers, the tier 1, tier 2, group 1, group 2, this stuff's in this stuff's in that, on the day of, that does not apply. All rides are equal. You can only pick one up after you use a lightning lane and can continue to do so as long as there is availability day of. So there is an advantage to waking up early and knocking out those rides. Again, this is for multi-pass. This is not for individual lightning lane single pass. This is just for multi-pass attractions. Now, all of this strategy about picking one up and using one and then picking one up and using one, that will be the bulk of part 2 of these episodes. But I just want to prepare you for what that will look like in advance. So here's what that looks like in the booking stage. Let's say you're doing multi-pass on every day or the back half of your trip, and you are going to Magic Kingdom, and you have Tiana's, Winnie the Pooh, and Haunted Mansion as the rides you're planning to book. If your Haunted Mansion return time is 8 a.m. and your Winnie the Pooh return time is 9 a.m., you are, in theory, going to have a lot more access to pick up additional lightning lanes day of than if those rides were at 2 and 3 p.m. That means, strategy-wise, at this point, you'll want to hit rides earlier to pick up even more rides day of. And from there, decide on if you want to do a new kind of afternoon stacking and nab some formerly tier 1 rides for later, or just focus on picking up and using as many smaller weight rides as you can day of. Again, this will be part 2, but the reason I'm flagging it now is because if you are going in and booking things, and a ride you're kind of iffy on only has 2 p.m. availability, but a ride you don't really care about has 8 a.m. availability, that 8 a.m. ride that you don't really care about could yield a better day with Genie Plus multi-pass than choosing the one you want to do a little more in the afternoon. Again, part 2 will cover this. It's going to be interesting because we really don't know at this point what kind of inventory will be available on that day. Will a bunch of tier 1 rides, which will all of a sudden be bookable again, actually be available day of? Can you plan to get maybe 1 extra lightning lane, maybe 2? Or on a quiet day, could you get as many as 5, 6, 7? Not sure. Probably not 5, 6, 7. That would be tight, but probably not. Again, we still don't know. What we do know is that things in this new version of the system are still going to benefit an early riser if you want to play the game and get as many rides in as possible. And if this is overwhelming and stressful, I get it. Let these terms and plans and strategy float out of your brain. And just allow me to emphasize this one thing. Disney planning is back. Brush the dust off that old concept because it is back like it hasn't been in years. Because Walt Disney World hotel guests can book their entire trip's lightning lanes at once, it is important, well, no, it is necessary to kind of have your entire trip sketched out prior to booking. While Genie Plus was so annoying, the advantage was you could wing it a little more. Now, you're going to want to know what you're doing day 4, 5, 6 of your week-long trip before you've even packed your suitcase. You'll be dropping in plans for rides, which ties you to locations, before you even get there. So just be sure to take some time, like the good old pre-pandemic days, to plan your vacation prior to that one-week mark. Again, a caveat. You don't have to pay for Genie Plus. You don't have to pay for any lightning lanes. You don't have to pay for multi-pass, for single pass. I keep wanting to call it maxi pass, and it is not called that. But if you do pay for one or all of these products, you will always get more out of your Disney vacation by going in with a plan. You will skip the lines that are the longest and open yourself up to more attractions, more experiences, and more fun in the parks. That's the main reason planning Disney like this is so important, because it's truly an advantage. Now, I want to give you some tips when you are actually booking on the app, like beep boop booking on the app, pull out your phone, beep boop booking. Beep boop. I don't know why beep boop booking makes sense to me in my brain as like, I'm focused, but beep boop booking, that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. So this is super important and buried deep in the terms. If your group wants to go on different rides, say your mom wants to go on Tower of Terror, but you want to go on Star Tours, you must all book the same rides and then modify after. This is the official Disney procedure. When you book, all multi-pass attractions or experiences need to be the same for every member of your travel party at the time of booking. Once you complete your purchase, you can modify selected experiences and arrival windows for some members, change things around, subject to availability, but you have to all book the same thing at the beginning. That is confusing. If you did not know that, I can't imagine how you would learn that in real time without being very, very stressed out. Like 4 a.m. Pacific time, me trying to learn that? I don't think so. But thankfully, you listen to Very Amusing, so you're set. Alert your friends and family about this, and basically just to listen to this podcast so you don't have to explain any of this. And they will also stay informed. Another thing that you gotta know, you can't book the same ride more than once. Only one lightning lane per ride, per person, per day. If you plan on park hopping, all 3 of your selections that you do in advance need to be from the same park. You can only pre-select up to 3 multi-pass rides from one park. You can, I believe, if things are as they have been, select individual lightning lanes, single pass lightning lanes from any park. So let me put that in actual terms that make sense. If you are park hopping, but you are starting at Magic Kingdom and you are reserving Tiana's Bayou Adventure and 2 other pre-selected multi-pass lightning lanes at Magic Kingdom, you can also reserve an individual lightning lane at Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot and Rise of the Resistance at Hollywood Studios, but your 3 with Genie Plus, your 3 with Multipass need to all be at the same park. Now, day of, once you use one of those, you can book a new one, subject to availability, at any park you so choose. So that will also play into strategy going forward. This bit is nitty-gritty, and I wasn't able to fully confirm it in time, but according to Disney's website, you can purchase Genie Plus, Multipass, you can purchase Single Pass for the same day at the same time for your trip, but you should plan to make a second individual purchase for the following days. This is confusing to say out loud, but again, this is unclear until it launches, but it appears that while you can book everything for your trip at the same time, that duration of trip booking will actually be multiple charges or transactions. I'm only mentioning this in advance because while this might not be an issue going forward, if your credit card is triggered for fraud easily, if you have a sensitive card and this does come up as 7 charges in a row from the same person, I just want to make sure I shout that out in advance in case when this launches, that is an issue. It might not be, but I just want to mention it in advance. Also, this one's a bummer, but remember, your early morning wake-ups aren't entirely gone. unless you splurge for single pass Lightning Lane in advance. Virtual queue is the only thing that remains unchanged in all of these processes. And if you've gotten this far and you're still wondering this question, I am so sorry, but this just applies to Disney World. The names are changing for Disneyland, but at this time, none of the procedures are changing. There is so much more that I could say about this. I could do hours about my thoughts and opinions on this new system. But I gotta say, the most important thing I gotta say that I haven't said yet is that while it is both beneficial and extremely frustrating, there is finally a worthwhile perk for staying at a Disney World hotel. They stripped away so many of the benefits we had in previous years. And while this does put guests at a disadvantage for booking availability who don't stay with Disney, which often includes me, it finally, at long last, after a few years of nothing, gives Disney a great perk for people who stay with them. And for that, even though it's frustrating for people who don't stay at a Disney hotel, I can't really fault Disney. I mean, I have dragged them for years at this point about the fact that they used to give us free transportation to the resort. They used to take my luggage from LAX and it would appear in my hotel room. I could check my bags at the airport, go to the park all day, and then just go to the airport with a carry-on and not have to worry about checking anything through until I arrived home. All of that is gone. Magic bands are not free. FastPass is not free. There's so many things they have pulled away from the Disney hotel experience. And while this is a benefit that you literally have to pay more for, I am grateful that finally there is an advantage to people staying on property. And that, I think, was long overdue. And before we go, one last thing. I just need to quickly acknowledge that a whole lot of people are struggling to have their needs met with the new version of DAS, or Disability Access Service. What's happening is not great. I'm sure a lot of you have seen posts by creators with myriad health complications and differing reasons for utilizing the service in the past, because a lot of people who have really genuinely benefited from DAS in its former iteration are now faced with a new policy that makes it so much more challenging for them to visit Disney parks, and it's a bummer. On top of that, I have seen some of those people be critical of Disney and express ire over them debuting a new digital system that makes it easier to pay to do a system similar to what they were using complimentary. And that is really hard to watch. Again, there are a lot of people who are struggling with DAS right now, and I've heard about it and I've shared about it, and it's a struggle. It is so challenging to cover this and not mention that. So I want to let you know, I too am frustrated by everything I'm hearing, all of the feedback, the complaints, the struggles, and I'm really hoping Disney, in finding a new system for everyone to use with this, can also find a way to accommodate some of the people who really needed something like DAS Pass and are now trying to figure out how to navigate their future trips to the park. And with that, I think that is everything we're going to talk about in part one of our mega Genie Plus Change Lightning Lane episode. Thank you so much for listening to all of this gibberish. Not me talking is gibberish. The names Disney gives it is gibberish. And if you can, tell a friend or family member or coworker about this podcast episode. This is the best way I can offer to explain all of this in depth to someone, more than a story, more than an Instagram post, more than a few tweets on the internet. This is really the best way I can explain all of this. And the best part is you can listen to it while doing your chores, while driving a car, while doing whatever. So if you are inclined to, please feel free to share this episode with someone you know is going to Disney soon, someone who is stressed about these changes, someone who has texted you as the resident Disney friend in the group being like, what's single pass? Send them this episode. You don't have to worry about anything and you're good to go. Thank you so much for listening. We survived part one, and hopefully every booking for our Disney trips will be easier as we move forward. Woo!
Hi, Carly. My name's Katie. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, and the time has finally come for me to take my own daughter to Disney. She just turned 4. She's never been, and I haven't been since before the pandemic, so it's been a long time. This fall, I'm going to be able to take her for just a few days to Walt Disney World, and I can't wait. But here's my problem. How many days? Which parks? I'm pretty set on going to Magic Kingdom, but do I go both days to Magic Kingdom? Do I go one day to Epcot, one day to Hollywood Studios? She's very into all the princesses. Sully is her favorite, Pixar character, and she's about 39 inches tall. So I know there's lots to do at all the parks, but I wanted your opinion. I know Pearl isn't that old yet, but what would you do if you only had 2 days to take your daughter for the first time to Walt Disney World? Can't wait to hear what you think. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hello, and thank you so much for this phenomenal question. Truly thank you for this call. The first trip to Disney World with your kid is such a big deal. I mean, for them too, but also for you, because this is when you're gonna like establish the first photo of them on the ground at Disney World, and all other photos when they're older will compare to this, and maybe one day they'll also get really into the parks and look back at these photos as like, wow, the seeds were planted for my love of this place way back when I don't even remember taking this photo because I was so young. And then maybe they'll put that on their Instagram, and then it'll be like the start of something new, you know what I mean? Anyway, not talking from personal experience or anything, but I think we can figure out a solution for your trip. Now, it sounds like from your call, I've gleaned that it seems like you're circling two park days and not park hopping. So my suggestions will be based off of that. And first things first, we're doing Magic Kingdom. She's into princesses. She's four. This place is jammed with rides. You gotta do Magic Kingdom. You gotta do 100% at least one day there. But since this is probably like the main priority of the trip, I mean, it's her first time. We got to get those castle photos. We got to do It's a Small World or Peter Pan or Winnie the Pooh. Like, we got to get her on some dark rides. This is her first trip to Disney World. I think where the decision comes is down to this. I think to decide what you're going to do on this possible second day or how you're going to break out the trip, even if you choose to extend it, I think you need to look at Magic Kingdom and really look at all the experiences they have and pinpoint the ones that you would be really disappointed to walk away and not be able to do. And tally those up, because if there are more than five, maybe six different things that you absolutely must do in Magic Kingdom, you might want to do it 2 days in a row. You might want to focus just on Magic Kingdom while you're there. Because while there is so much to see at Walt Disney World, you are there with your kid for the first time. We may not know how they will react on rides. I don't know if they've been to other theme parks. And if there's stuff that's really important to you to show your kid and you don't want to be like overwhelmed and stressed on that first day jamming it all in, because it is very real to be a parent with a kid with their first time in Disney World and be stressed in Magic Kingdom. I speak from experience. So tally those numbers up and see how that lays out. And if it looks like you can do it in a day, you're fine. And if it looks like, oh my gosh, there's just simply no way we can do a parade and also do this and see this character and do this ride and do this, if that seems too stressful, then you may have your answer straight out the gate. Now, if the tally looks good, if you're like, I'm pretty good just getting in one ride, seeing the castle, doing this stuff, keeping it pretty chill, then I don't even know if I want to admit this on mic. I don't love Disney's Hollywood Studios. It is my least favorite park. No offense to anyone who loves it. Personally, it's just not my spot. So it is challenging for me to recommend your kid's first trip. The second place you go to is Disney Hollywood Studios, just for a Sully meet and greet. But I thought about it, because my natural instinct is to be like, go to Epcot, I love Epcot. But I thought about it, and it's actually not that bad of an idea, especially if your first day is jam-packed with Magic Kingdom. This could be a little chiller, a little softer of a day, just if your highlight is seeing Sully, and then everything else can just fall into place around it. There are a handful of rides here that your child won't be able to go on, but at 39 inches tall, they can do Smuggler's Run, Slinky Dog Dash, they can also do Alien Swirling Saucers, Toy Story Mania, and other things like that. But my only flag would be, do you think that they'd be okay on something like Slinky Dog, Smuggler's Run? Do you think that that might be a little too aggressive for them? I would just keep track of that, because if those rides aren't really available, then if Toy Story Mania or Alien Swirling Saucers doesn't really appeal to them, there's not going to be as much for you to do to make a day out of. But that said, again, I think pairing Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios might be a really good fit, because if you are running and gunning at day one at Magic Kingdom, and you're doing a bunch in Hollywood Studios, if those rides are something that may appeal to your kid, at the end of the day, being able to watch Fantasmic, and yes, this is my age showing, but being able to sit down and watch Fantasmic at the end or in between a busy trip is really nice. So on like your last night when you're burnt out, it's just nice to have a place to sit and chill and enjoy nighttime entertainment, which is a good, I call it a button on the end of the trip. I hope this helps. The only other thing I want to mention is, because you said your trip was in the fall, make sure Genie Plus changes will go into effect by then. If you choose to do that and to pay for Genie Plus on either the Magic Kingdom day or both of the days, I hope you have a wonderful trip. If you have any follow-up questions, hit me up, let me know. But I do think, originally I wasn't going to say Hollywood Studios just based off meeting Sully. When you break it down, if those rides would be of interest to your kid and you kind of want to have one super busy day and one chiller day, I think that could be good, because you know at some point your kid's gonna be like, I just want to swim in the hotel pool, and that would be a great break during the Hollywood Studios day before you go back at night for Fantasmic. God, I love planning trips. Thank you so much for your call, and I hope you have so much fun. How exciting! Take so many photos. Oh, have so much fun.
Hi, Carly. This is Christina. Love the podcast. Please explain your mom's John Stamos Love outro. I'm so curious. Also, I've been listening to the podcast for a really long time, and I love that her calls have become a regular part of the show. So cute. Love you both. And do invite her for a live recording. We want Audrey. Okay, bye. Love you.
Okay, it's not going to be as good as you hoped it was. It's not going to be as good as you hoped it was. But when I did that massive two-part John Stamos episode, couldn't tell you when. Time is a construct. But it's basically my life is like before a child, after a child. This was before a child because it was like I was secretly pregnant right around then. So 2 years, honestly, time, can't do math. But anyway, in that he said like I mentioned my mom because my mom loves him. And he said, hi, Audrey. And so now she always says hi back to him as though she's returning it, even though he's not listening to the podcast and is eventually not all the way through the episode. He's a busy man. I just assume John Stamos is, if he's out there, hi, John. But I don't think he is. I think he's like playing guitar and making fun acting projects and things like that. But yeah, that's basically all it is. My mom loves John Stamos. And then finally, she was able to meet him when I was in the parks last December, which was completely unexpected and so wonderful and really made my mom's life. She was so thrilled. It was a very special moment, and I'm very glad I was able to do that for her. I was like, what was the other thing I was gonna say? Oh, right. You want a live episode of my mom. My mom, if she could, would be on this episode for a full hour every week. I will not allow that because I like don't want you here or anything. That's not it. It's just that I think you skew a little positive. I think my mom is just like so overjoyed to be able to like hang out and go to these parks and go on vacations that my mom is not as cutthroat as I need her to be a fellow voice and very amusing. I'm sorry. I love you, Mom. And I love that you love this stuff. And I love that you're very into it. But I think also because my mom knows if she said something that I didn't agree with, I'd be like, oh, I have to edit this now. And I'd be so annoyed, which is also true. But we do them occasionally when we're on trips together. I think that we will be having at least two trips later this year. So we will make this happen during those trips. I usually like to record with her at the end of the trip so we can reflect on all the stuff that happened, good and bad. She does say some stuff is bad. I just know that she skews positive on the podcast because she's so excited to be here. I love her. I love that her energy has become part of the show because truly this was not planned. This was not planned at all. It just really happened. And now every week she gets to address everyone and it's pretty fun. I don't know how we fell into this format being the format, but it worked out really nicely. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much. I'm so glad you appreciate her being here. She will pop up on the podcast later this year because now that I said that, she will hold me to it. Love you, Mom. And yeah, thanks, Christina, for calling. Okay, bye. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope this didn't sound like absolute gibberish to anyone in your home, your office, or in your car who had to listen to this entire episode. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. If you are new here, you came in just for this episode, welcome. Please give us a little rating. It's like a little tip that doesn't cost you money and helps other people find out about it. So it's like, I was going to say it's better than money, and then I was going to say nothing's better than money, but that's not true. There are so many things that are better than money. Oh my God. But it's just like a nice thing to do, and really, I appreciate it because it helps other people find the show, and then we can grow our little Amusey community. Amusity. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Never mind. I tried, but it didn't work. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, leave us a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. I have a bunch of great ones I can't wait to get into, but especially if you have questions about this that we did not address in this episode, call in because I guarantee you are not the only person with that question. I tried to cover everything, but with new policies, there are a lot of unanswered questions because they don't really know until they put it into effect. I mean, and I'm not supposed to say that, but it is kind of true. There's a lot of stuff you don't know until it actually launches, and we may not know until day off. Okay, like pricing. Anyway, you can buy Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet and join the FOMALY at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to my Instagram. It's 99 cents a month. It's just a little premium tier on Instagram. And when all this news dropped, I did a special Q&A just for my subscribers. I have that saved as a highlight on my profile. So if you want to subscribe, pay 99 cents, you can click in on that. You can get a weekly dose of my thoughts almost every day. I post on it often. It's really fun. It's just nice to have like a little tight-knit community within the Instagram bubble, which I love so much. This episode was edited gorgeously by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. How are you? This was such a great episode. I was laughing through it. I just want to know that you and Brandon were trapped in the mall and Mall Cop had to get you and Brandon out. The two of you must have been bending over, dying of laughter. I wish I could have seen that. All right, back to business. So, yes, you took me to Paramount. The entryway of Paramount is stunning. It has been in many movies. It's been in commercials. However, we went on the golf cart type ride or whatever with like 10 people in our group, and our guide would drive us to each studio and say, can't go in there, but here is where we filmed. And he would stop the golf cart. He would get out. He would open up his iPad and say, this is what it's supposed to look like. And he did this for 2.5 hours. It was unbelievable. The only studio that he took us in was one that had a fire. And they rebuilt it, and then he showed us what it looked like after that. So my highlight of Paramount was the bench that Forrest Gump sat on, and Lucille Ball duplicated her studio to look like her house and home with all the bushes, trees, flowers in the driveway. That was good. But the only studio lot that we went to was the one with the fire. Everything else seemed to be cool. I'm sorry, we did one more. There was a two-flat building, and where Jerry Seinfeld from the show Seinfeld threw out the marble ride. So we walked up the two flights, went to this empty building, but we saw where he threw out the marble ride. Okay. Woo! That was not the highlight for me, but that's okay. It was great. So we couldn't get out of there for like 2.5 hours. And I know I said to you, Carly, let's jump ship. Let's get out. Help me. I need to get out. And you're like, we can't leave. We can't, not let us leave. So, okay, that was a fun day. Ended up at the gift shop, bought the two t-shirts. They were on clearance for $1.99. It was not the best gift shop. We did take a picture of ourselves and at about midnight cracking up, and then I threw it in the donation bag in 2 seconds. All right, the Sony studio sounded great. A Seinfeld set, two television sets, two game show sets, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. That's really nice. Ghostbusters Mobile, oh, by the way, when you were little, I put you and your brother in matching Ghostbuster jumpsuits, and we trekked out for about an hour, and we saw the Ghostbuster Mobile, because I have a picture with you two in your Ghostbuster jumpsuits next to the mobile, so it's pretty funny, and I'm hoping that you have that memory still, because that was pretty cool. Universal, that sounded great. Full day, Wisteria Lane, Desperate Housewives, loved that show, would have loved that one too. Warner Brothers. Oh, yeah, by the way, you said you didn't know what it was called. It's called the Batcave, where Batman is. It's called the Batcave. And you had a great gift. Uh-oh, Mommy went over. But since I didn't get any of the other three great studio tours and I got the Paramount, I'm talking till I'm done. Sorry. So, yes, the gift shop sounded great. One day you'll have to take me there. That sounds wonderful. All right, wrapping it up because I'm in trouble now. I love you so much. I love you, Pearl, so much, and I love you, John Stamos. See you next week. Bye.